The watchword for this week comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verse 14. Jesus said, "All who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted." Friends, let's reflect on these words as we listen to this morning's prelude. So friends, instead of our usual call to worship this morning, we're going to do things a little differently, and we're going to open our service by heading straight into the responsive reading for today. We'll be reading the New Year and Anniversaries reading, beginning on page 143 of your hymnal. Now today in the reading, we'll be skipping the first and last songs in the reading, so skipping the first and the last songs. If you're able, I invite you to stand. Let's pray the liturgy to the Lord together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name. Who forgives your iniquity, who heals your diseases, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Let us in penitence and humility confess our sins before the throne of grace, praying together.
God have mercy. As we mark this moment, we confess our weaknesses, failures, and transgressions, our broken vows, our slackness and issues of time and opportunity, our selfishness and our love of ease, our unkindness and indifference, our self-indulgence and our pleasures taken at the expense of others, our moments when we have not been true to ourselves, our lack of faith in your providence, and these sins of commission and omission, have mercy upon us.
Lord Jesus Christ, we remember in your presence our losses and griefs, our hopes and treasures which the departing year has carried away, the disappointments we have known, the friends who are no longer with us, and whose steps we shall hear no more. We pray for grace to cherish the spirit which brings good out of evil, and which prevents adversities and sorrows from embittering our hearts. Give us comfort and a deep sense of your goodness in every circumstance of life, and when despite our good intentions we fail, be our strength and stay. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God will supply every need of ours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus.
To our God and Father, be glory forever and
Lord Jesus, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your throne is established in righteousness. Your compassion fails not, and your love endures from generation to generation. Lift the light of your countenance upon us, for we are exiles as our ancestors were. We thank you for all the ways by which you have led us in the past. Give us courage to set our faces toward the future.
Amen.
Let us give thanks for all God's mercies, for your grace given to us in days that are gone, for the blessings of life, seen and unseen, for the joy and peace of communion with you.
We give you thanks, gracious God.
For the sacraments of love and service which have made us conscious of your presence in our common life, for the deeds we have been able to accomplish and the strength which you supply, for the kindness of associates, the love of friends, and the fellowship of kindred souls. For the disciplines which have enriched our living, for your wisdom and gracious providence which we have recognized when you have denied our foolish requests, for the faith which has guided us in days of trial. You may remain seated. God will supply every need of ours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, friends, welcome to worship this morning at Christ Moravian Church as we celebrate this very special 129th anniversary of our congregation. We'll do so today in fellowship with a Moravian love feast with much singing and prayer and reflecting on Scripture as we enjoy the meal of buns and coffee. We're also delighted to have guests with us today, Bishop Paul Groff and his wife Jane, who are joining us today from their home in Wisconsin. It's such a privilege to have Brother Groff with us to bring the message on this special day. Before we continue with our love feast, I do have a few brief announcements to share with you. And that will begin with a brief message from the Women's Fellowship. Thanks to everyone who helped in any way to make the Women's Fellowship Fall Festival a success. After paying the security guard, we cleared $2,749.50. The fellowship building will be open after worship for anyone who might want to make a purchase. There are some baked goods still for sale, although no cakes left. There are Christmas items, and there are Genie's baskets available, as well as chicken pies, vegetable beef soup, and baked spaghetti. So if you're interested in checking out those items, just the upstairs of the fellowship building will be open after worship today if you'd like to make a purchase. Friends, this evening we'll have our annual Trunk or Treat event here at Christ Moravian from 4 to 6 p.m. in the church parking lot. Please join us if you can. Bring the kiddos and your family, bring costumes, bring bags of candy. However you come through, we'd be more than happy to celebrate the fall season with you. This coming Wednesday, the October the 29th, the Music and Worship Committee will meet at 5:30 p.m. in the office building. And friends, I do have one prayer request to share with you this morning. Sister Lillian Shelton, the wife of Bishop Tom Shelton, entered into the Savior's more immediate presence earlier this week. Excuse me. Earlier this week on Tuesday, October the 21st, there will be two memorial services for Sister Lillian. One on next Sunday, November 2nd, at Rolling Hills Moravian in Longwood, Florida, and one the following Saturday, November the 8th, at Friedberg Moravian right here in Winston-Salem. So please keep Bishop Shelton and all of his loved ones and all of both of those congregations in your prayers during this very difficult time. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we welcome your presence among us now. And gracious God, in this moment, we ask for your peace and comfort to be with Tom Shelton and his family. We pray also for the congregations of Rolling Hills and Friedberg Moravian churches and all who were touched by the example and by the godly life that Lillian Shelton led. We lift these requests up to you. And as always, we pray for your grace and your peace to be bestowed upon us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now, friends, without further ado, we'll begin in our Love Feast Ode, which is included inside of your bulletin, with the very first hymn printed there. We built a sanctuary shore. It stands on sacred sod, a church erected to endure the temple of our God. Friends, let us go to God in prayer. Gracious God, today we celebrate the 129th anniversary of you calling this congregation into being, Christ Moravian Church in the West Salem neighborhood, Winston-Salem, Forsyth County, North Carolina. Gracious God, 129 years, when we say it out loud, when we think of it, try to wrap our heads around it, it seems like a long, long time. But then we think about the history of some of the other churches in our area. We think of the history of the Moravian Church as a whole. We think of the history of the Christian Church as a whole, of how long all of your creation has been here and beyond. And we realize 129 years in the grand scheme of things is not that long at all. And so, gracious God, today, as we reflect on 129 years and as we look to the future, to what coming years will bring, we ask you not to help guide us in our own paths and with our own goals, but we ask you to help remind us how we are in relationship with everything around us, with all their history, with all their years, how we can continue to grow and build relationships, how we continue to do the best we can to follow your calling with those around us and with looking ahead to our future. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Friends, we'll have two scripture lessons for today. The first one will begin with Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. If you'd like to read along, you can find the words printed in your bulletin. I thank my God for every remembrance of you, always in every one of my prayers for all of you, praying with joy for your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I'm confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Friends, the second scripture for today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became bright as light. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will set up three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright light overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." May God bless the reading and hearing of God's holy word this day. What brought us together, what joined our hearts, the pardon which Jesus, our high priest, imparts.
Thank you.
And friends, the meal has been served. Let us join together in praying the Moravian blessing printed in the ode. Come, Lord Jesus, our guest to be, and bless these gifts bestowed by thee. Bless thy dear ones everywhere, and keep them in thy loving care. Amen. Enjoy the meal.
Thank you.
O where are kings and empires now of old that went and came? But Lord, thy church is praying yet 1,000 years the same. Amen. Please be seated. Friends, let us go to God again in prayer. Gracious God, we offer you our utmost thanks for your Spirit being present among us with the sharing of food, of refreshment, and of fellowship. We give you thanks for being present with us in the hymns and prayer and in your holy word. And gracious God, coming soon, we most especially give you thanks for the presence of our brother Paul Groff, bringing us the message soon, and we eagerly await how your Spirit will speak through him. Gracious God, for these many, many gifts and privileges, we give you thanks today in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The ushers, please come forward. Thank you. Bless, O Lord, we pray, thy congregation. Bless each home and family. Before we hear the message for today, we're going to sing one more hymn from the Blue Moravian Book of Worship. It'll be number 797. In the bulb there is a flower. Let's sing this together to prepare our hearts and minds for the message. Now, friends, for our message today, it's my pleasure to introduce our guest, Bishop Paul Groff, visiting us from the northern province of the Moravian Church. Now, if you've had a chance to peek at the biographical statement that Brother Paul was generous to provide to us, you have a sneak preview of a special, special connection that he has to Christ Moravian Church. Now, I'm not going to go on too much about that because you'll hear probably some of that from Paul when he gives his message. So, without further ado, please welcome Brother Paul Groff.
I want to take just a moment to invite us to think about voices. I'm not going to suggest to you that you're hearing voices, but maybe I am. The voices that we experienced yesterday at the bazaar, planning having gone on for a long, long time, preparations for sure, but a good day. I commend all of you who had a part in making that happen. Truly, we enjoyed ourselves there. But as I was sitting here this morning, I was thinking of the voices of the past. Perhaps some of your relatives were among those voices way back when. Voices of people who had a message to share. People whose voices cared. People whose voices were spoken so that others might hear the message of Jesus Christ and come to a personal relationship with the Lord. Voices that impacted our lives then and now. And certainly the voices this morning, the voices in instrument, the voice of choir, the voice in piano and organ. I didn't know that our accompanist was a track star. From organ loft to piano and back and forth. Well done. Those voices are oh so important. And I have to tell you, when Brother Reed's invitation came in behalf of your leadership and all of you, and I accepted that invitation, I began to think about those voices from my past here, which was really a very short time. I was born here at Baptist Hospital, grew up in the old parsonage that used to stand on the corner over there. And as I probably best remember from about 3 years old until 5 and a half when we moved to Wisconsin, I remember the voices of a number of people here who impacted my life, here who significantly touched my heart, even at that very young age. I don't recall whether I was sitting there or there, but it was in the front pew because on a hot summer day, they tended to leave those doors open, and guess what? Our family dog would wander in occasionally. And I would get up, pick up Blackie, and walk her over to the parsonage, lock her up, and come back. But I remember Dad in this pulpit, Mom singing in the choir. I remember those voices. And now I am privileged and honored to be a voice to you. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts will be acceptable to our God through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It all began here at Christ Church as I was born during the time that Mom and Dad served here. I'm not sure how much listening I did as a little kid. If I was a typical preacher's kid, I was probably squirming and not paying much attention. And that's all right. I was gathered with the community. And I had the very distinct feeling that everyone included and loved me because Dad would say early in the week, as he called me into his church office, which was then in the house, he'd say, "Well, Paul, what What hymn would you like to sing, maybe a Wednesday night service or on a Sunday morning? And every time I chose the hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers. Now the congregation was welcoming and affirming Dad in allowing his young son to choose the hymn. And I don't take that lightly. I take that as a sign of inclusion and acceptance. That's a powerful, powerful message. And today I will have to say, though, Onward Christian Soldiers is not my favorite hymn. But what has happened since is a hymn that I heard for the first time in my heart. Oh, I'd heard it in my ears, but I heard it in my heart up at Massanutta Bible Conference, where a group of clergy and the seminary students from the northern and southern provinces were gathered. The hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul, When Peace Like a River." It is well with my soul. I want to be sure we hear that message of inclusion and acceptance, of allowing a squirming little guy sitting up here in the front to be a part of the worshiping community. Those attributes of acceptance and inclusion are fundamental to who we are as Moravians. The relational is ever so important, almost, I would say, sacramental as to who we are. So I thank you. I thank you for the warm welcome. Well, it's probably as chilly here as it is back home, with frost around us, but the hospitality is great. And you have made us feel very, very special in welcoming us into your hearts and into these moments. In our FaceTime visit, Brother Reed, earlier this month, as our conversation proceeded about this day and the possibilities of what could be happening, two passages of Scripture presented themselves, and they were read earlier. And I felt that the first one, Philippians 1, really expressed what I wanted to say to you. I thank my God for all of you. For what you have been in the past, for who you are now, but just as importantly, for who you will become in the future. I am confident that the work begun 129 years ago will, by the one who began that work, will bring it to fruition, to completion, in the now, by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Matthew 17. It was during those COVID years. Do you remember them? Those COVID years when I was feeling very isolated. I was feeling very frightened. I was feeling very uncertain, as perhaps many of us all felt, that one day in my reading I came across this passage from Matthew's Gospel telling us the story of Jesus' transfiguration on the mountaintop. Honestly, it wasn't the miraculous appearance of Elijah and Moses, those two great, powerful Old Testament prophets that impressed me or touched my heart. And it honestly was not even the fact that Jesus' clothing turned a dazzling white, as unbelievable and miraculous as that was. What touched my heart was the very voice of God saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am pleased." And then these words, "Listen to him. Listen to him." I'd like to suggest to you that all beginnings, all re-beginnings, come through and by listening to Jesus. Here, as members of Christ Moravian Church, a member congregation of the Worldwide Moravian Church, a denomination that joins with all of the Christians around the world in a partnership of sharing the gospel, we all must be listening to what Jesus calls us to do and to be. And certainly there are many voices speaking to us. I heard this in the study session, the adult class, in that direction earlier. But the fact that there are so many voices calling out to us in the workplace, family voices, our social circles, media voices, political voices, all clamoring for our attention. But it is the one voice that we need to hear, and it is the voice of Jesus. A voice that calls each and every one of us individually, collectively, as a congregation, and denominationally to do and be what Jesus calls us to do and be. I'd like to shift our thoughts now just a bit to this day, an anniversary Love Feast Sunday. And oh, it was a good love feast. A good love feast. You know, across the church, love feast changes and doesn't remain the same as perhaps it was done in Winston-Salem or up in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, because as our church spread, some of those traditions altered a little bit and changed a little bit, but the central truth remained the same. I can remember one church where the coffee was served black and they brought a cart in down the center aisle and handed out the cream and the sugar. Here, y'all did it the right way all at one time. I'd like us to ask the question, who are we? Let it be your question. Who are we as a church? Well, we are a congregation here at the corner of Academy and Green. And we've been here a lot of years. We are a congregation that has seen significant changes and dramatic shifts over the years. We are an aging congregation, and I'm here to tell you there's nothing wrong with that. I choose aging to the alternative. But we know that we can't stay there, that we need to be looking to new ways to serve and do what Jesus has asked us to do. So we are a congregation that is seeking its future. And from what Brother Reed shared with me during the FaceTime and in subsequent conversations, either texting or however, I understand that this is a congregation that seeks to be relevant in ministry to this surrounding neighborhood and are seeking ways to do effective ministry here and now and around us, or wherever our Lord calls us. This is a ministry that will take into account the various spiritual gifts each of us has been created with. Yes. I don't know if anyone has raised that possibility with you recently, but I'm here to remind us, we have each been created with gifts. Gifts that God wants to call forth through Christ. Be used in ways that bring strength and unity and power to this faith community. A ministry that touches the lives of people where they live. And I would like to believe, and I do believe in my heart, this is a congregation that is listening to Jesus and will continue to listen to Jesus, because God said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." I think we are also a congregation that faces reality. We aren't what we used to be. None of us is what we used to be. And we face the reality that Christianity itself is not what it used to be, and certainly our denomination is not what it used to be. But we can't dwell on the used to be's. We need to move on. We can't sit around and lament and bewail and gripe and groan. I had a good friend, the late Reverend Lou Thomas. Lou is my best friend. I went to him when I needed to unload and vent. And I would wail. I would lament. I would gripe. I would groan. Probably some other words that could be thrown in there, but I'm not going to share them here. The point is, after a few moments, after listening patiently, Lou would look at me and say, "Paul, that's enough. You've had your time. Now get about living in the present and put all of that behind you." And my friends, I am confident that it is very normal to lament. But there is a point where we just simply have to move on. Why? Because there's a world out there that is desperately looking for meaning and purpose, that is desperately looking for the church to be what it claims to be in offering a message of hope and help, forgiveness and acceptance and inclusion. A world desperately wanting to hear a message of truth that ultimately gives them a sense that there is a tomorrow. That there is a tomorrow. And my friends, we are a congregation that knows with certainty Jesus has not suspended the Great Commission. It is still in order. It is still our direction to go into our world to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, to baptize as a way of bringing people into the fellowship of Christ's church, and to teach everything Jesus has taught us. The messages of love, of acceptance, of forgiveness, of looking at one another and saying, "I love you. I believe in you. You are special. You are one of us." I am of the firm belief that is stated in the passage from Philippians. And I want to remind us that as the God who did a good work among you in the past is still the same God who will continue to do a good work among you. I am convinced that we aren't going to sit around and wait for something to happen. Because Jesus is calling us to make it happen. wherever that may be. I am also of a firm belief that as precious as are our traditions and our customs and the ways we have always done things, I'm not trying to put them down in any way, but these pale when bathed in the light of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying they're insignificant, they are only means to. But most importantly, in all of it, we share the name of Jesus Christ and the wondrous and awesome transformation we can experience. Because Christ is alive and thriving and well within us. For me, my faith walk began here, among your forefathers and foremothers. But that faith walk has led me over a lifetime in many years of service as an ordained servant in the Moravian Church, and then some 34 years as a bishop of the Moravian Church and the worldwide unity. It all began here, and it will be a new beginning here. I close with a personal story, one I received permission to share, the story of how one couple found their way into the faith community at the Sturgeon Bay Moravian Church, the last congregation I served in Wisconsin. Chris, a member of our congregation, had a very dear and best friend whose name was also Chris. Chris, our member, went to visit in his friend Chris's home and there met his parents, John and Joan. One time, Chris, our member, and boy, did I think of it, Chris with beautiful long hair locks. Chris with beautiful long hair locks looked at John and Joan and he said, "How about coming to church with me?" And they did. They attended for quite a while. And one Sunday after the service, I was standing at the door greeting. John came by and he said, "Paul, I think we're ready for a visit. We want to talk about membership." I said, "How about this coming Tuesday night?" And I thought, boy, let's get right to it. He said, "Fine." And I went there to visit. And as we sat down around the fireplace in their beautiful home in the woods, John looked at Joan and he said, "Do you think I should ask him?" Joan came back to him with a rather exasperated emotion in her voice, saying, "Well, John, that's why he's here. Ask it." And he did. He said, "Paul, you had communion the other Sunday, and I didn't take communion." And I said, "Oh, what's your question?" He said, "If I don't have this Jesus guy all figured out, can I still take communion in your church?" I said, "John, are you looking to figure out who this Jesus is?" His answer, yes. I said, "John, you are welcome at the table. I don't have this Jesus all figured out. So let's join together in that walk toward understanding who Jesus is and what he wants us to be." And they joined the church and entered into membership, and Joan immediately began a new ministry of reaching out to people in the community. John shared this with me later and gave me permission to say it, but he said, "Paul, do you know why I and Joan entered into membership?" I said, "No, go ahead and tell me." He said, "Because you met me where I was at. You didn't make me jump through any hoops. You simply said, If you want to know Jesus, come to the table. My friends, is there a bit of wisdom in that story? Of meeting people where they're at and accepting them for who they are, not into what we want to make them into be, but to know that they are a child of God just as they are. Please join me in prayer. Lord our God, it is a great day that is here and before us, and there are great days yet ahead. Open our ears, our hearts, and our minds to receive your truth, that we will take this message, the message of Jesus, one who can transform our lives into much more than they are now, into lives that will become a blessing to others in all ways. I pray your blessing upon this congregation, Pastor Reed, members of the boards, all who are in leadership positions, all whose lives are being touched by the ministries of this congregation, that your Spirit will lead into the future, a future that has hope, a future that is bright. Perhaps some difficult pathways yet to walk, but a future that will build your church and be a blessing to all who come in and experience the presence of the Christ. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much, brother, for those words of guidance and affirmation as we continue to celebrate the 129th anniversary of this congregation. We'll be sure to hold your words close to our hearts and our spirits as we continue forward in ministry and in service. And friends, to follow up on that message as a moment of reflection, we'll turn together to hymn number 784 in the hymnal, the first four verses. But instead of singing this particular hymn, I'm going to ask that we read it in unison, just like we would as if we were reading a liturgy. So let us turn to 784, verses 1 through 4, for a reading together. This is a day of new beginnings. This is a day of new beginnings, time to remember and move on. Time to believe what love is bringing, laying to rest the pain that's gone. For by the life and death of Jesus, God's mighty Spirit, now as then, can make for us a world of difference as faith and hope are born again. Then let us with the Spirit's daring step from the past and leave behind our disappointment, guilt, and grieving, seeking new paths and sure to find. Christ is alive and goes before us to show and share what love can do. This is a day of new beginnings. Our God is making all things new. Amen. And friends, thank you again so much for joining us today for our 129th anniversary of Christ Moravian Church. Thanks for joining us and abiding with us through the chilly environment as we've experienced a boiler malfunction that's used to heat our sanctuary. But even though it is a bit chillier in here than usual, your singing, your fellowship, and the cheer that you've given and experienced today has warmed our hearts, if not our exteriors. I invite us to go back to our Love Feast Ode to close out today's service for the final hymn printed there. If you're able, I invite you to stand. For God of grace and God of glory, on thy people pour thy power. Friends, as one last reminder, the upstairs of the fellowship building will be open after the service in case you'd like to go and check out baked goods, chicken pies, spaghetti, soup, any other items that are still up for sale. Friends, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God lift up God's countenance before you and bring you peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Go in peace today.